Ryan leapt up to the top of the steps, seeing from the open hatch that the mist wasn't quite as thick. Alongside the Salvation, coming up on her port quarter, was another tall-masted sailing vessel, with cables already hooked to the rigging of the Salvation. Several men, faces only blurs in the dim light, lined the bulwarks of the stranger, though none of them seemed to be taking any part in the fight. A tall, grizzled man stood on the other ship's quarterdeck, watching the scenes on board the Salvation. Ryan cautiously stuck his head above the combing, scanning the deck, seeing that the battle, such as it was, seemed nearly over. The evidence of a short and bitter firefight was all around him. He counted 9 bodies, 2 still moving, crumpled in the coiling mist. As he looked on, he saw a slim boy with a mane of stark white hair bound from left to right, holding a gun that looked too big for him.
Jack!
Ryan?
Here!
The teenager appeared alongside the hatch, kneeling on the deck. There was a bruise on the boy's left cheek, and his camouflage jacket was torn across the shoulders, but he was grinning like a hunting wolf, eyes glowing like lasered rubies.
You well?
Ryan nodded.
You all here? Christy? Nobody been hurt?
Far as I know, Donfield's up front. JB and Laura chilled his set guards.
Got my blasters with you?
On Phoenix.
Huh?
Jack gestured with his thumb to the whaling ship that was moored alongside them.
That's Phoenix there. Stole it. Captain's okay. Said he'd help if we chilled Bitch Woman.
JB spotted them and darted along the deck. His mini-Uzi was in his right hand, and the fedora was pushed to the back of his head. His glasses were rimmed with tiny beads of condensation. He nodded to Ryan. There wasn't any need for anything more. They'd known each other too long for wasted words.
Ship's taken. None of us hurt. Some chilled. Rest gone into the room up the bow there, like living quarters.
Fo'c'sle.
How's that?
It's called the fo'c'sle.
Well, whatever the hell it's called, that's where they are. Can't get out under our feet, can they?
No, there's no way out. Once we get everything safe, we can offer them terms. I'm sure they'll accept once they know we got the queen bee of the bastard hive.
Where is she?
Ryan jerked a thumb over his shoulder.
Down there with an Astra 44 and a lot of real bad temper.
Best we move some.
They crept quickly through the fog, just a few yards, to take shelter behind the bulk of the mizzenmast, close to the stern. Christie's figure loomed out of the mist, holding Ryan's Sig Sauer P226, her long red hair cascading behind her, like a torrent of purest fire. She showed no surprise at finding Ryan crouched behind the mast.
Hi, lover. Want your own blaster?
Yeah. Be good to have something. I feel kind of undressed.
We got everything on the Phoenix. Donville's stuff, too.
He leaned across and kissed her quickly and gently on the cheek, feeling how cold her skin was.
Good to see you, lover.
You too.
Who's minding the store up front?
Lori. She's got your heckler and coke.
Seen a short guy, fluffy white hair and a charming smile, quiet-spoken, looks like everyone's favorite uncle?
Yeah, I seen him, Ryan. Was gonna blast him. Patted me on the head and wished luck. Went down the hatch.
That's Cyrus Ogg, first mate. After the woman, he's the one we want. Watch for him.
The Salvation was quiet now, only the gentle lapping of the sea under her stem breaking the fog-muffled stillness. Then Ryan heard a very familiar voice.
Upon my soul, Ryan, my dear chum, I'm so delighted once again to renew our acquaintance. These rogues have taken to their lair. Dear Lori guards them and will vent her spleen upon any that attempts escape. And it must be said, my dear fellow, that the child has been exhibiting a touch more spleen toward my good self than is tolerable. But let that pass.
The head of a white-haired man popped up from the quarterdeck of the other ship.
Need a hand? We can make out little through this murk.
We have the Salvation, Captain. A few minutes more and we can take the rest of the crew prisoner. But they aren't a threat anymore.
And what of Captain Piraquad? Where be she?
In her cabin, awash with blood and corpses.
Is she injured or chilled? Or held close as a prisoner.
The note of caution was unmistakable. It reminded Ryan of the time the traitor had wiped out a small ville of cutthroats in a wooded valley near the wide Mississippi. Their leader had been a giant, more than 8 feet tall, and blind in one eye. He'd so terrified the locals that they wouldn't even come and look at his dead body. In the end, they'd used some of their valuable gas from the store wag and burned the Baron's massive corpse. It was much the same with Piraquad. The same terror that would only end when she, too, was safely chilled. When they searched the Salvation, they discovered that one of the whaleboats was missing. Cyrus Ogg was no longer on board the ship, nor was Piraquad.
Must have slipped the cable and away in the fog. Be damned to it. There's scant hope of picking her up by the dawn. The mist clears, but slowly.
Which way will she have gone? To shore?
Aye.
Can the two of them handle the boat on their own?
On such a sea, my 8-year-old nephew and his pet rabbit could scull to the shore in such a calm.
Can we man the other boats and go after her? We've got enough men, surely.
No, mistress. Piraquad's cunning as a butter keg of polecats. She'll wriggle, twist, and hide, and save us all, come grinning back to Claggartville.
Are we near the old redoubt?
The fortress? Aye. By true reckoning, we lie off that lee shore, no more than a couple of miles, if that.
To row in that far? She could land safely, could she?
Neither she nor Cyrus were wounded, no? Then by now they are probably safe and snug, beach the boat and beginning to strike inland for the old coast blacktop. She could be home before us and have a reception waiting. We can have little hope of the wind rising ere noon on the morrow.
I guess your helping us will make the slut love you. Maybe we should come back to the Ville with you and face her down.
Ah, bad business. I dearly wish that ye had not chosen the Phoenix as the agent of your relief.
Price you pay for being the Good Samaritan, Captain.
I recall nothing in the good book, Doctor, about the Good Samaritan finding his help enforced with a large bore blaster pressed to his temples.
Ah, yes. Point taken, Captain.
Donphil appeared, now in his own clothes, eyes hidden once more behind his mirrored sunglasses.
But what do we do now?
J.B. was reloading his Styrog pistol with rounds dug from the capacious pockets of his coat.
We got the crew quiet, put the chills over the side, and that's brought us a fair crop of sharks to the feeding. I say we take a boat and pull for shore, make for the redoubt and then go from there, just like we usually do.
And Piraquad? What are done about her?
Nobody answered the blonde girl at first. Finally, Ryan did.
Chances are we'll never see her again. She's lost her ship and half her crew. She depended on her power base back at the Ville.
He looked at Captain Deacon.
Can't say. If I can persuade the remnants of her men that her authority is done, then she will find it hard to win back her place.
Figure trouble with her seamen?
No. Piraquad ruled with her fists and with fear. As long as she's not around, then the fear's gone as well. Of course, it could return the moment she appears, hull up over the horizon.
Dawn's not far off.
For several long seconds, nobody spoke. Ryan was struggling to make a decision. Over the past few months, he'd almost begun to think of himself and his companions as being on a kind of mission. They traveled through the Deathlands, encountering wickedness, cleansed the land like a driving wind, and then moved on. They'd flirted with death and disaster with Piraquad, and now they seemed to have broken her power. But if they went back to Claggartville with Deacon and the Phoenix, they might find a civil war in the township. The harsh days at sea had taken their toll, even on Ryan Cotter's great strength, and he felt tired.
"We'll go in with a whaleboat," Captain Deacon nodded.
"And go on thine own way, Outlander Cotter?"
"No."
"No?"
"No. We've got tracking skills, and we outblast them. We row in now and try to pick up their trail. Can't be difficult. They'll be pressed ahead for the Ville. We should easily overtake them and chill them."
"Murder them?"
"Try to shoot them from behind or from cover, yeah. You'd want me to go and stand in front of them and challenge them to draw fastest, like the old Westy vids? Come on."
"But she... Oh, I suppose that it's only justice for her. But you can catch her?"
"Yeah, they've got no more than an hour or so start. Two to their boat. We can close fast with seven of us at the oars."
"Six,"